KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
When the world seems like a mess, you feel like the system is broken and you don't have the power to fix it, sometimes you just want to burn it all down.
Let it burn! Let it burn!
One August evening, as summer was coming to a close, a group of renegade Philadelphians gathered on the bank of the Delaware River to set millions of dollars on fire. Okay, not actual dollar bills. Millions in medical debt.
Unfortunately, a big part of my job as a nurse is guiding people through what is often the worst day of their life.
People don't get a choice when taking on medical debt.
I woke up in a hospital and next thing you know, I'm getting sent a bill.
And if you can't pay it, there's almost no way to get rid of it, ever.
The last thing you should have to do is Google, what happens to my medical debt when I die? Is it going to go to my spouse? Is it going to go to my parents? But that's what people do.
But these folks found a way out, a loophole in a system that has felt rigged against them.
Yeah, I want people who are impacted by this to know that, yeah, you know, we care about them. And we're like a bunch of like dirtbag queers.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
This is The Johncast, a podcast about interesting and unexpected stories from Philadelphia. Sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. I'm Sabrina Boyd-Circa, and on this episode, we find out how this guerrilla debt burning happened, how it can be possible far beyond Philadelphia, and the profound impact that this debt forgiveness has on individual lives. Two community leaders spearheaded this mission to buy and burn medical debt in Philly, Claire Hirschberg and Lou Garner. Claire is a union organizer.
I care about my community and working people and everyone having good lives, so try to do things that fulfill that goal.
Lou is a nurse.
I used to do organizing a lot as an undergrad.
These two dirtbag queers, as they've dubbed their group, are used to finding their own community and standing up for themselves and for each other.
There's a lot of like attacks on queer and trans people right now. And we actually have this like incredible, fantastic group of people who are people who care about each other. We care about our communities and we're going to like be there for other people.
Definitely our strength as queer people is that we have built this fantastic community of care.
Those values, that urge to help care for people, extends beyond their immediate circle. As a nurse, Lou has seen a lot, including patients who hesitate to have a life-saving procedure because of the cost.
And I just remember having one patient, I was watching the Super Bowl with her, when the Eagles lost. She told me that she had Googled, like, what happens if I die? Like, is this going to get stuck with, like, my husband? Like, is this going to get stuck on my family? And I'm like, oh, my God, like, yeah, you have a 6-centimeter brain tumor and, like, this is what you're thinking about. She's contemplating, like, okay, I die. What happens to my family? What happens to my kids? But also, are they going to get slammed with millions of dollars of debt on top of losing me?
Yeah. You know?
Like, that's...
Does that happen? Does debt get passed down? Medical debt get passed down in that way?
You can't die out of medical debt.
Just to make sure that's clear, Lou is saying not that medical debt can't kill you, but that if you die after a big medical procedure, or maybe multiple medical procedures, your debt doesn't go away. Your family becomes responsible. And if you don't die, then you could have a huge amount of debt that you had no choice but to take on, hanging over your head, making it hard to afford the other things you need in life. Take Candace Amore, for example.
I am a food and beverage director. I've been working in hospitality for about 15 years, and I'm a mother right now, mom of two.
Candace was diagnosed with pancreatitis when she was just 19.
I was not prepared, honestly, and I never really followed up on it. So I went for years and years with just this sickness going untreated. But one year I'd gotten very sick and I had to be hospitalized and I needed to do surgeries and things like that and outpatient treatment. So I was doing that for a few years and then I noticed that I was in debt with medical bills.
Did you
understand when you, I mean, you don't really have a choice when it's an emergency kind of situation, but did you have any sense of like what it would cost when you went into this stuff?
No, not at all. I wasn't aware that medicine costs $500, a CAT scan is a few thousand. I didn't know any of this at the time at all. And it was just an emergency. Like one day I got sick, I fainted, and I woke up in a hospital, and next thing you know, I'm getting sent a bill.
She didn't have insurance at the time. And of course, in an emergency, you can't get a price quote. When you're passed out, you can't say, no, don't help me until I can see if I can afford it. But Candace didn't even see a bill when she left the hospital. She got the bill in the mail later, so she had no idea how much it was adding up.
I just could not pay it. I even tried to put money aside to pay, but I could never catch up. So I always had it over my head, but I still had to go on and be this mom of these two kids. I'm a single mother at that. And I was also going back and forth to school and working. So it was just so much going on. I could never put enough aside to even get like the minimum down. It was just so much. It was honestly causing me more stress and making me a little bit more sick.
These bills were ever present in her life, an ongoing source of stress for a few years. And then one day.
So I get this letter in the mail and it's saying my debt is wiped.
A letter from an organization called RIP Medical Debt informed her that some of her debts had been wiped clean, out of nowhere.
So I wiped my eyes again so I can reread what I was reading, and I was just so ecstatic. Like I honestly still don't believe it. Honestly, I'm still in awe.
The organization recently changed their name to Undo Medical Debt, spelled UNDUE. Since we recorded these interviews before the change, you'll hear them referred to by both names. They cleared $531 of Candace's debt, which wasn't all of it, and medical bills can stack up way more than that. But to someone raising a kid on her own, so buried in day-to-day costs and bills that there was no money left to save, it was a huge relief. $500 forgiven made her feel like she had a chance at getting back on track.
I can breathe a lot easier. I can prepare for if my kids end up getting sick or things like that.
Candace lives on Long Island. She's not one of the folks whose debt was burned by Claire and Lou here in Philly, and we will get back to that story soon. But there are people all over the country going through what Candace had to face. Undo Medical Debt found a loophole in the system to be able to buy and forgive some people's debts.
There is a market for medical debt as well as other kinds of debt throughout the United States. So if you end up in debt, there are debt buyers that will buy that debt and then they will follow up with you and deploy various tactics to try to get you to pay that debt because they now own it.
Allison Sesso is the CEO of Undo Medical Debt. To be honest, the concept of buying debt kind of threw my mind for a loop. So I asked her to explain what Undo Medical Debt does and how this is even possible.
$1 can get rid of $100 of medical debt. And you might ask, like, why is medical debt so cheap? Well, the reason medical debt is so cheap is because the people who owe the debt don't have the means to pay. So you can't get blood from a stone.
What's the benefit if it's already been determined that these people are not likely to be able to pay? Then why would you buy it?
Yeah, so there's a percentage of the people that can pay and a percentage of the people that can pay some of it. Say they have $1,000 debt and you buy it for $10. Well, if you collect anything over $10, you're up. Right. So you can cut deals with people and say, look, we bought your debt. We know you can't pay $1,000, but why don't you give me, you know, $500? And you start negotiating from there. And for the sell, you might ask, like, so why do people or institutions sell their debt? Well, for them, they've priced this debt at zero. I mean, they've attempted to collect it. You weren't able to pay because you don't have the money. And, you know, there's limitations on how much time and effort providers want to put into following up with you. And at some point they write it off. But if some debt buyer comes along and says, hey, I know you valued this at zero, but hey, sell it to me. I'll give you $1 million for that $100 million portfolio. That's $1 million you didn't have before. So you sell the $100 million technically debt portfolio to the debt buyer and you're up $1 million. And then that debt buyer says, well, out of that $100 million, I think I can collect $4 million and they're up $3 million.
Allison says that 100 million Americans, one in four, deal with medical debt. So it's very common and often hard to collect, which makes it ripe for this sort of resale market in ways that other debt isn't. But imagine if instead of a debt collector, some random group of good-hearted citizens bought the debt and decided not to collect.
And so what we do at RIP Medical Debt is we take donated dollars and then apply those to the purchase of a large debt portfolio from a hospital or other provider or the secondary market. And then we send letters to people telling them that we've relieved them of that debt and that they will never, ever owe that debt again. People, you know, tend to have a sense of disbelief, of course, at first, like this can't be real. Tears follow quickly. You know, they really feel like they were failing on their own. They really wanted to have paid this debt. They just don't have the money. So this idea that people are somehow choosing not to pay their bills is not something we've seen. This isn't like a I think, you know, healthcare should be free, and so I'm not paying this bill in protest of that. It's I desperately would love to be able to pay my bills. I don't know how this happened, and I feel so disappointed in myself that I wasn't able to pay for the care that I needed.
In a minute, we'll hear how Lou and Claire discovered undue medical debt and how that led to a giant debt-burning party on the Walmart pier. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now, back to the Johncast. Lou was taking care of sick patients, knowing that some of them couldn't afford their bills, when their friend Claire came across a video.
Fairly classically, I was scrolling on the internet. I think it was More Perfect Union had done a video of a church that had canceled medical debt and they had like burned it. I texted it to Lou because I was like, I feel like we could do this. And like, no shade to the church. It looked cool and like fun for everyone involved. But I thought we could throw like a better party.
I think the exact text I got from you was like the screenshot of the tweet of the church doing their debt jubilee. And you were like, what if we did like the gutter pagan version of this? And I was like, yes, absolutely.
Getting in touch with Undue Medical Debt, or RIP Medical Debt at the time, was easy.
I had an email that I sent. Yeah. I found like their program coordinator on their website and sent an email. And they were like, great, yeah, you can create a campaign.
It works just like any fundraising or crowdfunding campaign. You set up a page on their website and ask people to donate.
Yeah, like literally all we did was write up a little blurb, mostly based off of stuff that was already on their website. We just like gave it some flavor. My friend drew a monster truck. They handled all of the transactions. Like we literally just had to raise the money. They handled everything else.
I think the monster truck is really emblematic of their whole vibe here. It's part of how the whole campaign started.
We'd gone to the monster truck rally and tailgated it with like 40 of our friends.
Yeah.
Which is why the monster truck was involved in our logo.
Yeah.
And so then we had a keg that we needed to kill the keg. Yeah. So we threw a party and we were like, we're going to launch this campaign to our friends and get their buy-in.
We had a party like a week after the monster truck rally where we made everyone come to my house and drink 1 week old stale Coors Light out of the keg. And then we passed around a sheet of paper where everyone wrote down their name and how much money they think they could fundraise. And it was usually like $500 to $1,000.
RIP Medical Debt had told us you have to like hit a minimum of $10,000. So we were like, okay, like how can this group of people meet that minimum?
A lot of these campaigns are done by churches, like the one Claire first saw, or community groups, organizations that have a lot of people to pull from and a name giving them credibility. That's what makes it so cool to me that Claire and Lou did this grassroots style. They don't have an established nonprofit or anything, just a great group of friends.
Everyone who worked on it, which was probably a network of like 30, 40 people, took a ton of ownership. Like this was everyone's project.
Yeah.
Different tasks got delegated out. Like we got cool artwork. We got flyers.
A friend worked on like getting a donation match that was like really instrumental in getting us over the kind of like middle hump of it all. I think that like the best advice I would have for people doing this is that like you should approach it as like, this isn't you doing something. This is like you and your community coming together to like do this together.
Everyone wanted to do this out of the goodness of their hearts. But also, they kicked things off with a keg party. This whole campaign was fun. And a big part of the incentive was the celebration.
From day one, we're like, we are going to have a like ceremonial debt burning on the Walmart pier. That was always our vision.
It took some planning.
We had a meeting at Triangle Tavern with like our laptops out where we're like, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, we convened a summit.
We took notes.
Yeah, we did take notes. We had some Google Docs.
They wanted to do it at the Walmart Pier on the Delaware River, a spot that's become a bit of a Philly landmark. It's sometimes called Chicken Pier because in 2022, one guy drew a huge crowd there to watch him eat a rotisserie chicken.
Chicken Man! Woo!
Chicken Man! Chicken Man! Chicken Man!
If you haven't heard that story, go back to our 2022 end-of-year episode. Or just Google Philadelphia rotisserie chicken guy. Once they found the spot, they needed something to burn. They didn't have the actual medical bills. They didn't even know whose debt they'd be forgiving. So they made one themselves. A giant symbolic medical bill.
To print something that big at Staples, if you say it's like an architectural drawing, it's only like $8. We thought it would just like light up like with just a simple lighter, but it turns out it had some sort of coating, maybe for like architects to draw their little sketches atop.
Yeah.
So we needed lighter fluid.
There's the picture of us like standing with the with the garbage gripper holding it up, and it's like in flames, and my husband's just off to the side squirting lighter fluid all over it.
Yeah. I think we first poured a shot of vodka on it.
The vodka did not work.
Yeah. So our thing at the party was getting everyone to chant, dead as hell, let it burn, which is really fun to do when you're lighting stuff on fire. Set off fireworks.
Yeah, there's fireworks going off in the background.
Let it burn!
Lou and I wrote little like speeches that we gave.
We are so lucky to be in this friend group of compassionate, lovely, mostly queer and trans people, all of whom share in a vision for a better world. Because of all of us, we are canceling $1.6 million of medical debt.
And then we went to
Watkins.
amazing bar, Watkins.
In like classico Philly style, we're like, oh, we're just going to go to the dive bar afterwards. Like, oh, I know the guy.
That sounds like so much fun.
It was really fun. And
it's our cheers bar.
Yeah.
The bill they burned was written out for $1.6 million. But Lou and Claire found out later they had actually canceled over $2 million in debt for over 2,000 people in the Philadelphia region, which is amazing and a clear, direct effect on 2,000 people's lives. But it's still not a sustainable, large-scale solution.
This isn't the answer. This is not even close to the answer.
This is like the Band-Aid on the bullet hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lighting off fireworks and doing shots on the Walmart pier is not going to fix the American healthcare system, although I really wish it would.
Yeah.
As Allison, the CEO of Undo Medical Debt, told us, medical debt affects 100 million people in America.
We get rid of so many, you know, medical debts. We've helped 7 million people. We've gotten rid of $10 billion of medical debt. But we are not the final solution to this problem.
Buying and forgiving medical debt after the fact isn't addressing the root cause of the problem. That's something bigger and systemic that will take a while to change.
At the end of the day, people need to walk into the door confident that their insurance is going to cover their needs. And that's not what's happening today. And also, hospitals really need to think about their financial assistance policies and how they're landing so that people get this access when they don't have the means without having to jump through a bunch of hoops.
Most people don't control a hospital's financial assistance program. We don't set the rules for how much medications cost or how insurance works. People can lobby and advocate, but in the meantime, maybe the best thing you can do is just help the people in your community who are in need right now.
I think lately we're all kind of learning that all we have is each other.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is why doing stuff like this feels extremely affirming. In a time where we kind of feel like everything's falling apart, everything's going awful, like we feel a little bit futureless, but seeing a bunch of people come together and like really care and do really good work outside of their very busy summer for something so community focused was just really, really incredible and really overwhelming. But I do think more and more like mutual aid and like forming like support networks are becoming more and more popular over the last couple years. A lot of my friends are always like, oh, my neighbor on the block, their AC unit went out. Like, they'll make like a little graphic on Instagram, be like, oh, can everyone throw me like $5 and we'll knock this out. Stuff like that happens all the time here.
Lou and Claire wanted to share their story, mostly so that other people know this is a thing you can do.
It is so easy just to set it up. Like, you don't have to do any of the purchasing. You don't have to do any of the math. You just have to get them to make your little website, which they will very happily do.
And Allison is hoping that more small groups like this jump on board with Undo Medical Debt in whatever way they can.
We really pride ourselves on the grassroots donations. And so there's a number of people who have done campaigns like this one. They sometimes do a run or some, you know, they do different things to try to raise the funds, you know, have a bake sale or whatever it is, right? They do different things. We do ask that people raise at least $10,000 in order to decide exactly where that debt will be relieved. Otherwise, it's just economically, it doesn't make sense for us to have to pinpoint every single little donation. However, people can go on our website and donate like to a state if they want and just put like $10, $100 towards a specific state. That's not their own campaign, but they are at least directing their dollars to like the state of their choice.
Undo medical debt can only clear a debt if whoever owned it before, the hospital or debt collector, has agreed to sell it to them. So unfortunately, if you have medical debt, you can't ask them to help. But they do have resources on their website, and they're working to expand.
So if there's any providers out there that, you know, have, please call us. Like, we do think that this is a win-win-win. Like, it's a win for the patient, it's a win for the community, and it's a win for the provider. Because it really, the problem with medical debt is it prevents people from going to get the care that they need. And that's really undermining to the health goals that the hospital is really there in the community to work on.
The organization has signed contracts with some local governments to put a portion of public funds towards relieving debt. Last summer, Pittsburgh voted to move forward with a partnership. Undo Medical Debt is also involved in policy discussions surrounding medical costs and debt. If you want to know more, they have a whole section on their website dedicated to policy and education. We'll put a link in our show notes. As for Claire and Lou, a lot of people have asked them what's next, but they're just regular people.
We're like,
I gotta go to work, man.
Yeah, I gotta go to work. We will be doing cool things, but we are not like forming any organization.
No.
But that's kind of the point. They're gonna just keep doing what they do, working for the greater good within their everyday lives.
I think my biggest takeaways from this is that, like, you don't have to be an organization. All we have is each other. And forming, like, these communities of care is literally everything.
The Johncast is a KYW News Radio original podcast sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. The podcast is made in Philadelphia by Christina Coppicer, Brian Seltzer, Tom Rickert, Holly Stevens, and me, Sabrina Boyd Circa. Sound for this episode was provided by Claire Hirschberg and Documenting Philly. I want to take a minute for some real talk here. We've got some changes coming at KYW News Radio Original Podcasts, and as part of that, we're wrapping up the Johncast. Think of it more like we're putting it in a box, and maybe someday we'll reopen it. But for now, new cool things are coming. Trust me. Stay tuned, check in at kywnewsradio.com, or follow KYW News Radio on social media for more. A sincere thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.